This is Keith and the Girl, and we can't wait until April 11th when we get our phone to make crank phone calls. So we're going to use our cells, but we're going to start today.
Hey, all you assholes, come and listen to us. It's the Keith and the Girl Show.
All right.
Okay. The first phone call we're going to make is not going to be the prank phone call. It's just going to give you guys background information on who we're calling to prank later. So here we are. I am going to dial Mona's phone number. And did you raise the volume of her mic?
Yes.
Okay, so this is going to be on a cell phone on speaker. So it might be a little weird, but I think everybody can hear that. That's good in your headphones, right?
Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, Mona.
Hey, congratulations. It's Keith and the Girl.
Oh, great. What do I win?
A nice interview with us.
It's Keith and the Girl.
I'm so excited.
So, Mona, we're going to talk about your company. Is it all right to talk about your company on the show?
You mean my present company or my former company?
Your former company and how we met.
We don't want to talk about companies where you're friends with the people.
Oh, so that would be my former company.
All right.
All right. So you had a company called Fun Factory. And
the New York Fun Factory.
Oh, right, because there are several Fun Factories. The New York Fun Factory. And that's how we met about 11 years ago. I was 18. And you taught me pretty much everything about kids' parties.
Almost everything?
Almost everything. I think after I stopped working with you, I managed to pick up some information. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you're a natural girly.
You think?
Yep.
I was their number one star.
Absolutely. That's why I let you lose all that equipment.
What happened?
And she would lose everything. She'd come back to the warehouse after doing a couple of shows and then say, I'm so sorry. And I go, okay, what now? Well, I left the helium tank in Connecticut.
Come on, a helium tank?
Yeah, the helium tank.
What else?
I remember it well.
Really?
But you didn't leave it in Connecticut or something like that. You got it back, but it was in your mother's house for like 6 months.
And then one time the car outside of my house got stolen, and it had Barney in it. And what else? Cotton candy.
I think that was a purple dinosaur at the time.
I'm sorry. It wasn't
I'd like
Barney.
To say for the record.
Although now I hear they're using a real Barney.
And my name's Nona.
That's right.
But you guys, you guys were the best bosses, though. Like, somehow I got away with a lot of that. I lost a lot of face painting kits. And what else?
Not everything.
We're going to get billed tomorrow now.
Yeah.
I think you even lost a check once. Like, you picked up a check for a balance and you lost that.
That's not true. That was Andrew.
Oh, okay.
That was Andrew who lost
the other clown who you were sleeping with. Sorry, my bad.
Thank you. Yes, you're bad.
She hired everybody. Is that where you guys met?
Yeah, Andrew and I is an ex-boyfriend. Andrew's an ex-boyfriend of mine who I met through working for the Fun Factory. And yes, we started sleeping together.
When Mona owned it.
Yeah. I only worked for the company while Mona and Adam owned it. And then they sold it to three Jews, and the Jews were assholes, and shortly after I stopped working for the Fun Factory. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, now you sold it. Why? The company was doing really, really well.
Yeah.
Okay. So why'd you sell it?
Because I didn't want to be in the business anymore, and I wanted to...
Because you hate children, true or false?
And what's that, Mally?
You hate children, true or false?
Hate children?
Hate them.
Hate them.
Oh, I hate children. Oh, that goes without saying. But that's not the reason why I sold the company. I was having personal problems with my partner.
Oh, okay.
So that's a good time to sell.
So you sold it for a good chunk of change. Are you allowed to talk about what happened after that?
Yeah, I think so. I don't have any agreements with them.
Okay. Can you talk about it then?
Yeah. What would you like me to talk about?
First of all, when you first, you hired someone to help you find someone to sell the business to.
A broker, yeah.
Okay. And that person found you, these guys, who have never worked in the kids' parties industry. But
that's right. They were just a couple of guys with some cash.
That they got from their mommy?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, where does it matter where you get it from?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, but they're going to give it to you, right? That's what they're saying. Now, right away, you thought they were a little bit shady, and you didn't really want to sell it to them. Is that right?
That's right.
Because they're Jews. Is that right?
because they were Jews? Is that what,
yeah.
Is that what you said?
Period. Yes. You just answered it.
That's funny.
So, but you thought they were shady?
Yeah.
Okay. What made them shady? Anything in particular?
I guess just the way they were haggling over things, and I just got a bad feeling.
That's their way, though. That's like not their fault. Know?
But you're it used
to... Like I would say, for instance, you know, this is what we want to sell the company for, and I gave them a number. So to haggle from that point is totally fine, but I vaguely remember, you know, them saying, well, if we came down to this number, how would that be? And I remember going, okay, that's fine. And then them coming back a couple of days later and saying, all right, so you said you'd sell it for this number, and it was way below what we had said.
And they're just saying,
days before, so.
And they're just saying that you said that you would do it.
That was just an indicator. I said, no, we just continued to go back and forth. And it was a little complicated, the negotiation process, because in this business, it's a service business. You know, I don't have a whole lot of merchandise that somebody can look at and say, all right, this is what I'll give you for it. They had a trust that we had a thriving business with, you know, a pretty substantial clientele. What you're basically selling is goodwill.
So, but they cannot, I mean, there is some indication of it. You have your records. You have how many,
how many
parties. You have your contact list, which basically with this, you are selling your contact list, which is very, very difficult to get in this kind of business.
Yeah.
And also, you've managed to get a whole bunch of costumes, a whole bunch of equipment that was there in the warehouse for them to do inventory in. And that was at least $100,000 worth of equipment, no?
Minus a Barney.
Something around there. Maybe a little bit less, actually. The bulk of the money that was gotten for the business was for what I said, the goodwill. It was for the contacts and the client base, you know, and the agent base. It was the running business itself, you know, and the
fact that you managed to make all these friends with, you know, business.
Yeah. But the thing was, we took in a certain amount of cash. And they wanted to see records of that cash. Now, I showed them some records of that cash, but somehow they thought, I could contrive those records. So I remember even looking at them and going, okay, you're serious. I met you like a week ago. Do you think that I sat down for a few weeks before I met you and made up these cash payments?
Wouldn't you
I made up a paper trail to
but wouldn't you
how
think,
much cash I take in.
But wouldn't you think, wait, hold on.
They actually said, well, you could have.
Yeah, wouldn't you think that they would have done it or, you know, somebody else would have done it?
Then what?
Make things up so they can sell their business. I mean, these guys are
Jewish. I guess. I mean, it's possible, but really unlikely. Like, you could just see from the papers and all the different, like, handwriting on it that a lot of people wrote up these receipts and stuff, so...
Okay.
It really did look very legitimate. So,
okay.
But anyway.
Now, what was your... wait, hold on.
I misunderstood. No, I thought they were asking her, show me how your company made money.
Oh, well, they were.
But then...
Is that their business?
Percentage of it that was cash-based. So it doesn't have the same paper trail. You know what I mean?
I get you.
It has a different kind of paper trail.
Is that normal to ask for?
The paper trail that I was showing them.
Is that normal to ask for? Is the trails... Of
yeah, absolutely.
Because they need to know how much money you're making.
They stated that they didn't believe it, and so that was a reason to come down really far, you know, in the price.
Okay.
Yeah, this is where it really started. This is like the slightly complicated aspect of it that begins the story of how they try to screw me.
Okay, now what was some major parts of the screwing? Like, because you, instead of making this a smooth transition of okay, this is the amount of money and this is what you get,
right.
Somehow it went into complications. And what were those complications? Like, eventually they ended up wanting to sue you, right?
No, I sued them.
Oh, you sued them. Why were you suing them?
Because for breach of contract. See, here was the deal. They wouldn't give me the money that I wanted for the business, but they said, everything that you've showed me about how much money you actually make in check form, based on that, those figures, we're gonna buy your business for this amount of money.
Did you agree
to
that?
Well, that's still too low, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to write a couple more contracts with you. I guarantee you, you're going to make the amount of money that I'm telling you you're going to make in your first year. And that's without any experience and without me helping you out. So I want it written in a contract that if you make the amount of money that I say you're going to make, then I share in those proceeds and I get up to $50,000 more.
Oh, that's
right?
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was me putting my money where my mouth is kind of thing. They didn't trust my receipts from the cash. So I said, okay, well, I'll put it in your hands, and if you make this amount of money, you pay me.
That's fair.
That was one contract, and then there was a second contract which said, because they said they were scared to run the business all by themselves initially, so I said, all right, I'll stick with you for a month and a half during our busiest season of the year.
Which is Christmas.
And in that time, I agree to work full-time here in the company, but I get half the profits.
Of just Christmas?
Yep.
Okay.
Now, Christmas was about a quarter of our entire annual gross income.
And not what Jews are into.
And not necessarily what Jews are into. or what Jews have a tremendous knowledge of. So, you know, the shiksa on board was really an asset to the company.
Okay, so now you did that. You followed the agreement. You helped them out. And what happened?
And we made a shite load of money, okay, as predicted, for Christmas. Because now we had like four people working, or five or something, because we took on these other guys. And then anyway, so like January comes and I go, okay, where's my 50? Where's my 50%? And they started jerking me around and saying, we didn't make as much as we thought, because they were holding the books now, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had everything up on computer and I was out of there. So they jerked me around for a couple of months, and then, you know, I kept calling and saying, all right, come on, this is what I estimate we made, et cetera, and I wasn't getting paid. So I had to go find an attorney and sue them.
Okay, and then but you guys didn't end up going into court.
We didn't go into court. Well, something interesting happened right before the deposition. Well, first of all, they hired this major law firm in Manhattan to defend.
Mm-hmm.
Which was crazy, based on my lawsuit. It's a pretty small lawsuit, because I was suing them at that time for like $30,000, you know? Like, almost just made it out of small claims, if you think about it. And they hired this big law firm, where apparently one of these guys had a friend who was willing to do it for, you know.
Oh, okay, because Jewish people know lawyers.
Did they hire that black guy that just died?
Johnny Cochran.
I think... No, he's not a Jew.
Oh, good for you.
He's not a Jew. They don't hire non-Jews like that.
No,
not for real jobs.
They don't know about Christmas, but they know about lawyers.
So, okay. Now, you're getting these... What's up?
I said I hear. I hear they know about lawyers.
Oh.
All right, so anyway, so they think they're just going to, wear me down. I can't afford to continue with litigation and all this. And they really, I was sweating it out because I couldn't afford it. You know, my attorney was costing me, you know, it was like $10,000 within the first couple of months of pushing papers around. So it was a smart yet evil tactic to wear me down. And coincidentally, I hadn't seen them for about a year. And coincidentally, I was sitting right next to them during a World Series game between the Mets and the Yankees in Shea Stadium.
Yeah. Now, hold on a second. This is like nobody expected this. All of a sudden, you're sitting in your seat, and there they are.
Exactly. I'm sitting right next to Cal, who is like, you know, he's the mastermind of the business.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I'm sitting right next to him, not even realizing it. You know, you're in Shea Stadium. It's a lot of noise. You know, you're eating your hot dog and drinking your beer and whatever.
Yeah.
And I turned to my right and he was sitting right next to me.
Oh my God. I didn't know. You know what? I don't know why I was picturing they were behind you or
no,
something.
No, right next to me.
Okay.
Because as it turns out, my contact for baseball tickets was this guy
who
I used to hire. So that guy continued working for the new owners and hooked them up with tickets on the same day that he sold me tickets. So it wasn't just like a total random coincidence, but it was pretty coincidental anyway.
Uh-huh.
So I hadn't seen them in a really long time. And
they were still being shiesty to you, am I right? Like they were not really paying you on time or waiting until the last minute and...
My regular payments, I think, were coming kind of on time. Yeah, they were, like, being a little dirt baggish, but not tremendously so.
Okay.
It was the 30 grand that I wanted.
You still didn't have it?
And I knew that my second contract with them, they were going to breach that one too. So it was really worth about $80,000 from me.
You still didn't get the $30,000 from them at that point?
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
I was in the middle of litigation with them. I sued them. My attorneys contacted their attorneys. We were in a big fight. It was very contentious litigation.
They even contacted me to get me into court.
That's right. I had you sign an affidavit.
Right. Because
they stated that I had worked there, you know, all of November and December, and, you know, you were witness to all the jobs that we did and all that kind of thing.
But they also wanted to get me into court because I had some sort of breach of contract, even though I never signed a contract for neither you nor them.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a joke.
Yeah, we all worked, you know, just kind of freelance, no contract.
Yes, well, at will,
what would you say in court?
Right.
What would I say in court?
Yeah.
I don't. You know, it didn't even get to that point, thank God. Somehow she just crushed that in...
What did they want you to say?
I'll tell you, because this is the best part of the story. So I'm at Shea Stadium, right? I haven't talked to these guys in a long time. Now they've been hiding behind their lawyers. They won't take my calls. They say, my lawyer calls your lawyer kind of crap, right?
Mm-hmm.
Frustrating the hell out of me. And at the time, it was a really scary situation for me personally. You
and
know?
You stay pretty cool under fire like that.
Well... Yeah, to other people, but you know, I was crying a lot at home.
and you're...
I really was, you know, because I didn't have another job. I was trying to go to law school, and I only had just so much money in the bank. I had a little kid. My marriage just broke up. These guys are cheating me out of money that I really need in order to survive for the next few years so I can go to school, etc. So I was so stressed out, and I hated them for doing this to me. Because it was just so mean and, you know, unjust. So anyway, so Cal's sitting next to me. He's like, oh, holy shit. And I was at the game with Howie. And Howie was a pisser. Because,
hey, Mona.
Wait.
When Cal gives you money for, like, to give to the hot dog vendor, do you keep the $2 and go,
yeah,
okay, I'll add that to the thing?
They squirt mustard in his evil eyes.
And maybe I'm jumping ahead, but when you guys should have went to court, and then you know who you have on your side? Mickey Mouse, SpongeBob, and they all come
right up
one at a time. Mona's
all
the best! This guy's an
dinosaur.
Asshole. Yeah.
Have you, would it be weird, have you considered calling the Nickelodeon on them, like these people think they have SpongeBob or whatever?
No.
Okay, I know you're not like that. All right.
No, I'm not like that. And they will receive their punishment.
In hell, because they're Jewish.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you're sitting next to Cal.
Yeah, so let me try to make a long story short, because I went off on quite a tear. I started ranting. I started telling this guy, you have some fucking nerve doing all this. I was cursing at him, and he says, listen, we're all here to watch a game. It's a very important game. And he was like a crazy Mets fan too, right? And he said, this is a very important game, and I know we're all here to enjoy it. And he's trying to be like all diplomatic with me. And I sat there and I listened to him, and I was quiet for a minute, and I paused for a second, and I went, fuck that. You ruined my year. I'm going to ruin your game. You are not going to enjoy this game by any means. I'm going to talk through the entire game. You might want to get up right now, because this is going to go on for the next 2.5 hours. And he sat there and he listened, and I chastised him.
And the guy she's with, Howie, is a nice-sized guy.
He's a nice-sized guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess
he's
so.
He's a bigger guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Howie's a nice guy. He really just sat there. Goes,
no, I mean, he's a bigger guy, too.
Yeah.
He's, like, munching on something, you know, and just going, go get him. So it was so bad, like, what was going on. Like, I got so crazy. I can't even remember everything I said. I just kept going. You know, I get very lucid when I'm enraged. But this guy who was sitting behind us videotaped what was going on, and he was laughing the whole time.
We got to get that.
Yeah, but you never spoke to that guy to get the videotape afterwards or something.
No.
Wouldn't it be really cool if we found it now?
That would be awesome.
What year was that?
It was the last time the Mets and the Yankees were in the World Series, and I don't think they made it out of Game 1 together at Shea. So.
Okay, so somebody's going
to... You can figure it out from there, but I think it was 99.
How cool would that? I would pay for that videotape. I don't have money, but I would pay for it.
I would pay for that videotape.
We'd pool our money together.
I got really upset, you know, because it really did affect me emotionally. I wasn't quite as cool as I wanted to be. And so I had to like take a little break, you know. So I said, I'm going to leave now, but I'm not finished with you. And then the other guy, like the mousy guy of the three guys who bought the business,
John.
He was like, he was just in because he put money up. But this guy had no clue about anything.
He was half retarded, right?
Yeah, he's like half retarded.
Well, then good for him.
No, he was the brother of one of the. There were three new owners, and he was the brother of one of them. And it was almost like that nice Jewish thing of like, take your brother with you.
Yeah. Mommy sent him out to business.
Don't forget your brother. You can't leave without your brother.
So he makes some last ditch effort to kind of like smooth things over, and he's so lame and retarded. So he stands up and he goes, come on, Mona, we're trying to enjoy the game. So I get all up in his face, like my nose is almost touching his nose, and he's about my height,
well,
you know?
Everything touches his nose,
you
right?
You don't talk until he tells you to talk, because you're his bitch. You remember that. You're his bitch, and I'm not done with you either. Sit down.
Did he sit down?
He sat down and scared the shit out of him. It was great. It was so great. And then I went outside and cried.
Aww.
Like a baby. And smoked. And then when I came back, you know, Howie was laughing because they weren't there, you know. And
awesome.
I go, where'd they go? And he goes, they moved. They paid somebody behind us to switch seats.
Awesome. Yeah. I can't believe
so
they
then,
had.
Like a week later, we show up at the deposition. And all I really wanted was...
And
like
coincidentally, he's there, too.
...position to psych him out.
What's that? Wait, hold on. Say that again.
I wanted to wear a Mets Yankees t-shirt at the deposition. To freak him out. Anyway, that story goes like this. So I bring in, you know, my partner is there, too, right? Adam. And so we pull a little good cop, bad cop strategy. And, you know, Cal says, oh, let's settle this, you know. I'll offer you this much money. It was like half of what he was supposed to give me. And I got so mad. And I went outside with Adam, and I had a little powwow with him. And Adam went back in alone, and he says, look, Cal, here's the situation. She wants all of her money right now, or she's taking you all the way to court. And Cal goes, but it's not even going to be worth it. She's going to spend that much in legal fees. And he said, she doesn't care. She doesn't care. It's all about just who's right and who's wrong in this. She'll go all the way. She'll mortgage her house, he said. So he portrayed me to be a real lunatic, and it worked.
And they just paid you the whole thing?
They just paid me the whole fucking thing.
What a bunch of assholes.
What a bunch of pussy baby fucking cocksuckers. What, did I say cocksucker?
I think we have our quote.
Well, good. I guess that was the end of it, and they paid you the money in installments, and you went to law school.
I did.
And you graduated something cum laude, and so one of those Greek words.
Yes, I graduated summa cum laude.
Which is very impressive, because you also had a toddler at the time.
Correct.
Right? Very awesome kid, and now you are a genius.
Today's his birthday.
I know. I called him yesterday. Well, I called you yesterday, and he picked up the phone, and he goes like this to me. Do you have anything to say to me? And I was like, what?
How old is he now?
He's 9, right?
Yeah.
So he's 9 years old. He goes, do you have anything to say to me? I'm like, yeah, but I think I'm going to wait until tomorrow. He's like, no.
Put him on the phone. We'll talk about chicks and stuff.
Oh, stop it. And
okay, we'll conference with the school.
He made me he made me say happy birthday to him yesterday, and then I'm like, how's your birthday going so far? I guess you're excited. And he's like, yeah, especially about my Benjamin.
New friend, Benjamin.
Yeah, because his grandfather gave him $100. He's like, I love my new friend, Benjamin. He's like, and he's so excited about the whole thing, and today he's having brownies in his school. Ugh, he's so cute, and he's a genius.
And he got off the phone with you yesterday, and he said, I like him,
though. Oh, isn't that? Oh,
I said, of course.
Oh, and we're going to his birthday party on Sunday.
Yes, he's having a birthday party.
And where's it at? Because all the listeners are invited.
Okay, well, we're gonna
nice try, Mally.
We're gonna let you go and do your lawyer business work. You now have your own practice.
Yes.
I don't know if you want to put that out there, but you're a genius.
I have my own practice.
And
well, there, it's out there now.
If anyone needs to contact a lawyer, they can contact us at
1-800-SUE-THE-JEWS.
or 206-3-FUCK-69.
That's the number you call for the best lawyer. 3-FUCK-69.
In any way to make sure it's understood, like, you know, my kid's a half Jew. I married a Jew.
Yeah. Oh, you are a Jew magnet. You always go out with the Jews.
I'm a Jew magnet.
You took the
time
to get to know the Jews.
I'm Jewish by injection.
And now it understands why you hate them.
And I would like to think I'm one of your best friends, and I'm a Jew.
What?
Now you're a dirty Jew.
By association.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you very much. We're now.
Yes, thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
We have to make a phone call now.
Yeah. If you will excuse us, I'll talk to you later.
Oh, I wish I knew what you were doing, but it sounds very exciting.
Okay. See you later. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Thanks, girly.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Mally.
Bye.
Okay, so now that's the background information. That's Fun Factor. We think they're scumbags. And now I'm going to call them and see what happens. Let's see.
Let's see what happens. I say they're going to pick up.
I'm a little nervous about this because I'm going to be in an accent, in some Jewish accent, let me say. I hope they don't recognize my voice because I was working with them for a while. Here we go. And send and speaker, right?
That accent is so disturbing. Hush.
All right, there it goes.
So far, it's boring.
Fun Factory.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Chava.
Hi.
Hi, I'd like to talk to you about my son Cheskel's bar mitzvah.
Okay, how did you hear about it?
Okay, well, I was searching on the internet, and you guys seem to have the most Jews working for you.
Okay.
Okay, is that true, though? It's Jewish-owned, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and your name is?
My name is Maria.
Maria? That doesn't sound very Jewish.
I'm not Jewish.
Okay, do they hire non-Jews?
Yes, they do.
Okay, now, would I be working with you?
If you prefer to work with someone else, you can.
Do you book the parties?
I'm one of the party planners, yes. There's a lot of party planners here. If you prefer to work with somebody who's Jewish, I can put you on the phone with one of the owners.
You know, I think they would understand my situation a little better, being that it is a bar mitzvah.
That's totally understandable.
Thank you.
Can you hold on 1 second?
Thank you, Maria, and good luck to you. I know you believe
in
hell.
Thank you so much. Okay, hold on 1 second. Okay. Your name again?
My name is Chava.
Chava. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I know you believe in hell.
You can't crack up like that because someone... Hello? Oh, that's still their on-hold music.
Our new 10,000-square-foot warehouse is now operational, filled with all the essentials of inspired
entertainment.
That doesn't sound
Jewish.
It's operational?
We also represent and manage a multitude of talented acts and performers, including top musicians, bands, circus performers, magicians,
blah,
and
Fuck
Mona.
What?
Along with everything you need to host a murder mystery, scavenger hunt, Olympic program, or...
Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
Hi, this is Chava.
Hi, Chava. What's going on?
Who am I speaking with?
Jonathan.
Jonathan. According to the website, you are a Jewish owned company. Is that true?
Correct.
Okay. Now, let me go into... You're a Jew, right?
Yes, I am.
Now, I'm not racist or anything.
Don't worry.
Okay. I'm just asking because this is a bar mitzvah, and I just thought that, you know what I'm talking about. You're a Jew.
We're good. Don't worry.
Okay, great. Now, my son, Cheskel, oh, he's a dream. He's having a bar mitzvah in 2007, and I'm sorry?
When is the bar mitzvah?
It's in 2007, but I heard that you have to,
that's fine.
Okay, now we're not sure where we're having it. We're hoping to do it somewhere in Queens, and we need some entertainment because he's going to be studying really hard, and we think that we need to reward him.
Okay.
Now, what can you do in terms of entertainment?
We could do do you know what you're having the bar mitzvah, first of all?
Well, we're still looking around, but it's going to be in...
What month is it
going
to be in?
We're looking into July.
July, okay.
Yes.
Fine, that's not a problem. July, bar mitzvah, you're not sure what you're having yet. I mean, does he have anything that he likes or anything like that? I mean, how about I send you a catalog, or you went to my website, you saw what's on my website?
Yeah, we saw what's on your website, but what I'm looking for really is a DJ.
Okay.
Okay, you have DJ?
Sure.
Okay. So what I want, and I saw one party like this where there was some girls dancing around, and there was a DJ playing all the funky music for the kids, and he seemed to know everything that the kids liked. It was unbelievable, and I was wondering if you have one of those guys.
Sure. We have a DJ with dancer, sure.
Okay. Now, what would be the pricing of that?
I mean, how many dancers do you want?
We would like them not to show their bellies and their undergarments, if that's okay.
How many dancers, though?
How many dancers? Well, that really depends on the pricing, really.
Well, that's what I can give you the price base. I mean, if you are a DJ and two dancers, DJ and two dancers would be... Hold on.
Well, we also want the lights and the doodads that they hang, that they hand out.
I mean, you're getting around $2,500 for that.
$2,500, is that negotiable?
Yeah, it is. If you take other stuff, it would be discounted.
So I would have to spend more money to get it reduced.
I mean, again,
you really are Jews. Oh, this is so funny. Okay, now what else was I going to ask you about? Okay, so it is in June, and we are doing it in July, and we'd like to do it on a Saturday night. Now, I understand that the sun goes down pretty late on Saturday night, so we're going to start it about half an hour after the sun goes down. Okay, we'll be in synagogue in the morning. Okay, but it'll be the synagogue close to our house, and then so that the guests can get there, you know, we have to wait until sundown.
Sure.
Okay, so now I'm wondering how you're going to get the equipment in there if the sun goes down a half an hour before a party.
Well, are you going to start right, you know, when are you going to start? I mean, are you doing it in a temple or not?
We're doing it in a temple, and that's why we can't go in there until after.
Well, either have to set up Friday.
Uh-huh.
Or depending, you know, the Sabbath probably ends in July at around, you know, close to 9 o'clock.
I know. Isn't that so late? But we have to do it on a Saturday night because our guests have to come Saturday night. Now, I think it's really wonderful that there's no work on Saturday. I'm wondering how you guys keep a business that's...
Sure. Hold off for 1 second, okay?
Sure. Yeah. Hi,
what's up?
Javi, I'm on hold. I don't know about these people. What other entertainment? I'm trying to think of what. Their phones are ringing like crazy. Oh, no, that's okay. I was just thinking anyway about other entertainment. But I was wondering how a company who the main work, I assume, is on Saturday and Sunday with all the goys. How do you not work on Saturday?
We have people we trust.
You have goys working for you on Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not contacted?
I'm sorry?
You guys are not contacted. Now, I heard in the Jewish law, we studied this, that when people work for you on Saturday, that's just as bad. I don't believe in the Shabbos goy.
It's not really. I mean, are you Orthodox?
No, but I'm getting there.
Well, I mean, it's Chum Shabbos. It's okay. You know, you're allowed to, as long as who's a part ownership, and you're allowed to do certain things.
These certain things. I don't know. I mean, are you guys advertising that you're a Jewish company?
I don't know if we advertise it. People know. I mean,
now if
we're not a Jewish company, we happen to have some. There are some of the partners are Jewish.
Now hold on. If something goes wrong, do people call you?
There's a warehouse manager who's not, so he answers all the calls.
Okay. Now I also want to. Can you hold on for just a moment?
Sure.
Just one moment. Thanks. Uh-oh. Okay. It's on mute. They found every loophole for this,
mm-hmm.
where they can explain themselves to all the Jew. I bet they got that a lot. So I don't know.
So what do we do now?
I don't know. We can't really get them mad. How do I get them mad?
I guess we just gotta drop the F bomb.
The F bomb?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Our closer.
Oh, okay. All right. Hold on a second. Are you going to say it or should I? Okay. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, no, now...
I didn't get your name. What's your name?
My name is Chava.
Now,
before we book this, I just want to say...
No, I'm not booking. I'm just writing it down.
Oh, no, sure. But before we book it, I just want to say one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you!
That's so stupid.
That is... It's cracking
stupidly
me up.
Awesome.
You know what? I almost wanted to wait for his reaction. Should I? Excuse me. Should I have waited?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I hung it up.
One more thing. And now I started wondering, like, if you are really Jewish. One more thing, or however you do it.
And one more thing.
Yeah, what is that? Fuck you.
Damn, I'm so disappointed with myself.
Is she mad? Is it a crank call? Is she mad that we have other people working right. for me? You notice in the beginning, they were all about being Jew and being a Jew company. Then it's, you know, well, how do you do it? Oh, well, it's not really a Jewish company.
That was fun. I'm so disappointed that I didn't wait for his response. Cool. I think I was a little nervous about, wait a minute, we didn't hide our phone number. I didn't hit the hiding of the phone number. But they probably get a lot of calls in, so even if they have caller ID, and thank God it's your phone.
Oh, thank God.
It's very appropriate to say thank God in this situation. Mm-hmm. But it is your phone. So, and you're not a Jew, and you're Keith Malley. At least it's not traced to me. I don't know. I'm sorry.
I don't care. He'll call back, and then we'll go, oh, there must have been some misunderstanding.
Oh, my God, I just lost my phone, and you're saying that a Jew called you up? And
I hate Jews. And then go, but I'm glad you're here, because I want to plan a party. You don't have Jews working there, do you? Because I don't.
You know what? They must be so used to it, because Maria was like, right away, I'll just pass you over to somebody else.
Right.
Oh, that was fun.
You can hear it in her voice, you know. You're doing the Jew hello. Oh, yes, hi.
Oh, yes, another Jew. Oh, I forgot.
And then the uncomfortable laughter is always great. You know, the, no, I'm not Jewish. Where's the joke?
I forgot to ask Mona about this, but she used to have customers. she knew they were Jewish, and right away she would up the price, and so they could haggle her back to the regular price. Because it doesn't matter mm-hmm. as a Jew what price it is. My mother does the same thing. It doesn't matter what the price is. You have to get it lower. Otherwise, somebody is
being taken advantage
yeah.
of, you mean?
Yeah.
They're so afraid.
Yeah, it's true.
The more religious you are or the more you're from Israel, whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a religion thing. I think it's maybe Israeli.
Thing. And, yeah, it's definitely not a religion thing. But they're afraid somebody's taking advantage of them. And they have to be little dicks so that
they have to be more aggressive.
Like they can take advantage of you. And that's why they yell and they talk all the time.
They're very aggressive people. Very aggressive.
That's why they talk with such anger.
Yeah.
I worked in a Jewish restaurant for almost a year. Worst customers I ever had. Blacks don't tip, and I thought that was the worst. They walk out on checks more than any other race that I've had. These people pay their tabs, and yet they're worse. They're worse.
But the thing is,
I'd rather have people that pay their bills, I guess. But they're the worst. They talk to you just the way they talk, all angry. And you in the beginning, I couldn't believe it. But because you warned me about it, then it was like, it's a good thing you warned me. And then I'm like, I guess this is just your way.
Just so you know, offended. He was looking for a job, and he landed like right next to our house. There's a Jewish restaurant, and I know it's Israeli owned, and I know it's Israeli run. And so beyond Jewish, Israeli is like another layer. So I said, okay. I know you're going to be working here. You cannot hate me after you start working there because my people will run you down.
And then like 2 weeks later, I'm like, I fucking hate these people. And you're like, should you stop? I'm like, I'm still going to hate them. Might as well keep working. Like,
oh, God.
Nothing's going to change.
But I don't know if this is in their defense or what. My mother learned this because in Israel, she was growing up in Israel, and you would go buy your fruits and whatever in this market. And if you pay full price in the market, you really are a sucker. Like, they know that you have to haggle, and the best hagglers win. So the market is actually set up for
that's
you to haggle.
That's not in their defense, though. No, things change. You're in a different place now. You're in a different area. They no joke, try to haggle me on food.
On the price of
in
food
a
in a restaurant.
Right, and it's a nicer restaurant.
But there's still markets like that in Israel that
okay,
you have
to haggle.
You're
not in Israel. We're in human being land now.
Oh, God. I have to actually explain that to my mom sometimes. Like, no, you will not be able to haggle with these people on this price. They will not be able to do anything. But she tries anyway. She comes up with all these kinds of schemes. And the thing is, a lot of these times,
what's a scheme?
Huh?
What's a scheme?
You buy something and then
you cut a hole in it.
No, you take what you need and you return it as if it's still in there or something. You did it.
Oh, well, that's different.
You did it.
Your mom's evil. Yes, I did it. I do it when like. If I buy a printer for for example, and the printer doesn't work. I'm so mad because I needed a printer that day.
That's what she
then
does.
Then I'm going to keep the ink, for example.
Yeah, she does stuff like that.
Okay, well, that's not haggling.
Or maybe her.
I didn't haggle you back, not a printer.
Or something.
I'm a good haggler.
Well, no, that's not a haggling. That you said, what are the schemes? That's not haggling.
Okay, what other things does she do that's pure evil that she's not confused about and doesn't think this is the way it needs to be?
I had to actually teach her how to tip because she's pretty frugal. My dad is a great tipper. He'll be the biggest tipper you ever get.
My dad's a terrible tipper. Maybe the way people think they haggle because of where they come from. My dad comes from what? 1930? That's how he tips. You know, he doesn't know. Things changed and the price of bread went up.
But you also said that your dad will talk to the waiter like they're best friends.
Oh, and he talks to the waiter like they're best friends. And then if he tips lower than his bullshit change, like he'll leave change, literal change, and that's it. And if he tips less than that or doesn't tip, he always has an excuse why, and it's because they weren't right there with the coffee. He's old school, so they have to be right there with the poured coffee.
Right.
You know? But he's in, you know, a more real restaurant. They're not like these cheap diners where they just stand over you and give you shit.
And
food,
they don't have any other customers, yeah.
Right, right. And that he wants to be talked to.
Yeah, like oh, how was your day?
He's used
how's
to
going?
When he was a magician. And
not magician.
He was a...
Illusionist?
Illusionist.
Right.
And he would go on the...
You can't say magic.
What's that... Arrested Development and that magician on there.
Uh-huh.
That's how my dad is. And he's like, it's not tricks, it's illusions. And we would try to learn these little tricks in the house and we'd get yelled at. And I'd be like, Dad, let me show you this. Practice in front of a mirror. Practice. Always practice before you do the show. Practice, practice. I'm like, I get your point, but can I just show you this? Practice. I'm not, for where?
How old are you, like 9?
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, I just want to show you something.
Practice. I'm like, I'm not going to do this for a living.
Now, actually, you are doing it for a living now.
Right, right.
And the funniest thing is he's like, when are you going to get a real job?
Right, right.
You're doing, like, not exactly what he was doing, but in the same genre.
The only thing he said he hated was the travel. Well, now I don't travel.
And you make probably the same amount of money because it's a different time. But he would
go around, he would be by himself, you know, not with the family, doing this magic and doing these different shows, mind reading shows. So he would have no company and he'd want these waiters to talk to him. So now he expects waiters to be talking to him. And no matter how busy, my dad will like try to make jokes to the waiter, you know.
Like cheesy cornball jokes.
Cornball jokes and then be upset that the waiter's not talking to him, even though the waiter's obviously sweating.
Can you imagine you waiting on your dad? Because I've seen Keith wait tables and he's not that, okay, hey, how you doing? You know, like I think I would do that. Like, hey, how's it going? Right. How are you? You know, he's just like, hi, can I take your order? And like straight face the whole time.
Yeah, everybody thinks like, you must be the funnest waiter.
No, he's so not a fun waiter.
I'll just get the job done.
Yeah, but he'll get the job done really well. You're actually a very good waiter. And I've heard that more than just me. And I know, amazing. Congratulations
I
to
get
me.
I get the food there. Congratulations to you.
But your dad, I saw pictures of the things that he did. It was pretty impressive. He got himself in the newspaper and it was like a big deal that he was traveling with it. And he must have made some money off of it. And that was like the most major job he ever had, right?
That's what I think. He always has jobs. They last like 2 weeks. But
kind of like you.
And I wouldn't care if he didn't have an attitude about it.
What do you mean?
I don't know. But I remember, I know, like he worked at Wendy's once to be a manager. And then having all the, I don't know. He's just a
was that
to
weird
us
to you
and
that
having an attitude that he's this manager. What are we doing with our lives even though we're 12? And but then we know it's not going to last. And less than 2 weeks later, you know, something happened. I know he was fired, but he's like, I left. It was too much.
How do you know he was
fired? They set that. I know he was. Right. I don't know. But he left. Like, he couldn't handle it. And what couldn't he handle? The training where they go, okay, the pickle goes here. And, you know, it's not even a diner. She's not even doing pickles. But, you know, it's like, here's this sandwich takes this. You know, this Big Mac, this Whopper takes this. This takes this. And, like, he couldn't keep up fast enough. And he does everything deliberately and talks to you slow. And I picture him taking the bread and putting it on the table and then taking a slice of cheese and putting it on.
Like all slow.
I bet you get the sandwich from my dad and it looks like the picture. I'll give him that.
But you get it like 10 minutes later,
right.
Like it's a real restaurant
or
something. Yeah. But what was it? Was that weird to know that your dad was working in Wendy's or is that just normal?
I didn't care because it was like a management thing, right? And it sounded like, okay, that's what an adult does. He was a truck driver. That lasted 2 weeks.
I didn't know he actually made it to be a truck driver.
No,
he was training.
He took trucking school.
Which I can't see your
dad
doing that because he's
truck
by himself.
Driver at all, yeah.
And all the truck driver stops are like whores and drugs and everything. It's a well-known fact.
Yeah.
They're all on drugs. They're all drunk. And they're all like these not exactly ex-priests.
Right.
Priests.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So here's an ex-priest on the road in a truck stop like, now we'll talk about the Bible.
It's just he has all these jobs and what am I doing, you know, with my life that I'm not. Why don't you go into insurance now? Because you fucking hate it.
He does insurance right now.
Yeah.
He offered us both a position.
Yeah.
In selling insurance. My dad was always like, you got to take your life further. And right now my parents are like, what the hell are you doing? And my mom knows about you. And she's like, her biggest thing is like, she's old school. The husband takes care of the wife. And how come you don't, you know, how come we're not wherever we need to be? And my father, I own this house. And I think that's a huge thing. I'm 29 years old. I think I took it like at age 25 or 26. And I took over the mortgage. And I own it now. And I think that's pretty incredible. It's a two-bedroom, whatever. He's like, it's about time that you sold this house and moved to the next level. This is not where you need to be. Like, it's always, and I think that's a Jewish thing. You're never where, like, you need to be. You always need to take it a step further. So we kind of had the same thing, but different. But at the age of 12, he wasn't like, why aren't you doing something? Right. But anything else?
There's got to be something else because we got 10 more minutes. Oh, you know who will have some Jewish opinions about that restaurant, Fat Charlie.
Fat Charlie?
Yeah, we used to work together.
Call him up.
Oh, very exciting. He's in Virginia. We're making a phone call to Virginia.
Hello?
Hey, you're on Keith and the Girl.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going good. How's it going with you?
Pretty good. I'm in Virginia where there's no Jewish people.
That's what we were talking about. We were talking about the Jewish restaurant and how the customers were so nice to you.
Those are the worst kind of people you can come across.
Oh, shalosh.
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 Shalosh. Shalosh means three.
Yeah, so. Man, it's pretty serious in there. They got to wash their hands every 2 freaking seconds, man. It's ridiculous.
And then they have to say prayers over bread?
Yeah, it's like what's that game where you got to get up from your chair every 2 seconds?
Oh, psychiatrist?
They're just back and forth from the bathroom.
But yet they can be so mean to you, but yet they're so religious. And you would give them their bread, and they start saying a prayer, and they start breaking the bread all over the table. That's a prayer, to be an animal.
Are they throwing it all over?
No, they break it, and it's just going all over, and you offer them a plate, and they don't understand.
Yep.
Then you're the asshole for giving them a plate. You can believe in something that's absolutely not true, but you don't got to be an animal.
Do you know that they... after there's a prayer for going to the bathroom, either before or after you go to the bathroom, and I think also
they go before.
Well, they wash
like,
their
right before. Well, they go, and then they come and eat the bread.
But they're not allowed to speak until after.
Yeah, they can't wash, and then you don't have the bread on the table. By the time they come back, they're having a heart attack without being able to talk.
They would. It took me a while to learn this. They didn't teach
That's
us
right.
that, even though obviously our bosses are Jewish.
So this freaking guy is ignoring you, and you're like, hello.
Do you want me to get your order right? The kebab, the pieces, or the ground beef? Ground or pieces? Retard. Pieces or ground beef?
So hold on. So they didn't even give you the order, and you're just standing. So what made you? You just walked away from the table?
No, they can give the order and then decide to wash. But between washing and their prayer with the bread, or they would just go and take the bread. They would find out where you keep the bread and take it.
Yeah, they just take it. Yep. They just stuff in their hands and where all the bread is, and it's like, hey,
you just washed your hands.
That's why they wash their hands, because they know you're going. They're going in your shit.
Do you have?
Yeah, but they take turns. It's like 9 of them. Forget it. It's like one back and forth. It's crazy.
Oh, 9 of them at the table.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so you can't take the order. You gotta wait 3 hours, and they're like, wait, we're waiting. It's crazy.
Oh, they're all waiting for everyone to wash hands until they can give you their order.
Everybody wash their hands, and then you can get her done.
And we were talking about how they're so rude. I thought I had the point. I just wanted to bring that up again.
Charlie, do you have a story when they were really rude to you?
Like they'll do the kebabs, and we'll go, let me make sure you wanted the ground beef kebab. That's right. Not the pieces of beef kebab. Why would I want the pieces? Why would I want that?
Yeah, right?
Why would I want pieces? I don't know you. I don't know. I forgot about your pieces accident.
They like the big pieces.
Did a girl ever hit on you, Charlie, in the restaurant?
Huh?
Did a girl ever hit on you in the restaurant?
No, I don't,
Really? Because they like the goys.
But
nobody likes Dominicans.
They're not really into anybody that's not Jewish.
I don't. Keith got left a couple numbers, right, Keith?
I got some numbers.
I think
but they think I'm Jewish.
98% won't and 2% will, because I've never. It's very rare. All of them would say, oh, God, somebody that's not Jewish. Ugh, that's so disgusting.
But, yeah, they were surprised.
Just like that, too.
They were surprised that Charlie worked there sometimes, remember?
Yeah, all the time. Oh, my God, you're not Jewish? How'd you, what are you doing here?
Really?
Like, I'm white. I could
I'm
be
like
Jewish.
I'm
but you could pass for Israeli.
Do people smoke weed? Does anybody know about that?
Oh, yeah, they smoke weed.
Yeah, they smoke. I forgot the name of the pipe. It's, oh. The name of the pipe. I knew the name of the pipe.
Hookah? Hookah? That's Jose.
Tell Jose to get on the phone if he's going to talk.
Oh, I found, hold on.
No, don't put him on the phone.
But we don't want to talk to him. We're just saying.
I went to a titty place, the dirtiest, raunchiest
this Jose.
Titty place you could want to go
no,
to. I'm really. Telling you, this is like
oh, really?
The lowest form of strip club you can go to.
This has nothing to do with
Jews.
There's
two guys in there just chilling.
Oh.
And I went crazy. I was like, hey, look at you guys. Having fun. I was ripped. It was hilarious.
You went up to them?
We left.
You made them leave?
After I told them I worked at a Jewish place, and oh, I see you guys all the time. Like, not even a minute later, they were out the door.
Me and Chemda saw that.
They had money in their hands, and they had their big hats on, and
their
long coats.
But they can't take their big hats on.
Throwing money at the naked Spanish and black girls.
But they can't take their hats off while they're in the thing. That would be
disrespectful. Yeah. And we would see him like one. We'd see one come out. And did you ever see this, Charlie? You'd see one Hasidic Jew come out, go one way. Then another one would come out and go the other way.
Of the strip
and
club.
Then one would come the other way to meet up.
They would leave separately.
After washing?
No. After being in a strip club, they'd leave. They'd leave separately, like we don't know each other, and then meet up later.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was funny. It was really funny.
So, somebody I knew, her gay friend worked at some gay porno thing, and he said that a major clientele was the Hasidic Jews, all gay. Like, they get blowjobs in the back.
That was so, like, unreligious and so...
It is.
You know they're only supposed to fuck in one way?
With a sheet, with a hole in it.
The sheet.
They gotta put a hole in the sheet and like not think about having sex while they're having sex, right?
That's a good way to have sex forever, though,
yeah.
For the guy. But my friend told me, like, I think that's a myth, but then my friend said that she worked for Jews or something and the hole was there in their sheets.
Oh, that it was?
Holes I think. But I gotta figure that out. What does he say?
I don't know.
I gotta figure that out.
What are you guys yelling?
They like to rub the woman's bald head while they're boning.
Oh, that's right. The religious.
Bald Jewish women.
The religious women, when they get married, they have to wear a wig or a hat.
They have to shave their head and wear a wig.
They don't
right?
have to shave their head, but it probably becomes convenient, so they shave their head
so they can have the wig
on.
They all have the same hairdo.
They all have the same hairdo. Do they buy the wigs from the same Jew shop?
Yeah.
Like, are you allowed a fancy hairdo? With a crown?
I think that probably amongst them, one is fancier than the other, but we can't tell. You know, one costs right. more or whatever. But if you're around Main Street, it's going to be the same two Main Street shops, you know. Is Jose having Jew comments? What is he
What's
know?
Jose? Put Jose on. I changed my mind. Put Jose on for a second.
Hello.
Hey, Jose. How's it going?
Hey, what's going on?
You getting her done?
I'm getting her done now, A&B. Getting her done.
You have any Jew stories? This is our Jew episode.
This is just... He was talking over here, and I was just picturing it. A bald-headed Jew, right? Bald-headed woman.
Right.
Okay, well...
Oh,
and then you have a bald-headed black woman, right?
Okay.
You know, they both have fake hair.
I don't...
Right?
Okay.
Now imagine having both of these women in front of you, right?
Right.
And imagine they're stripping it for you and everything. And you, I'm a guy that likes to play with hair.
Right.
So I go and I grab one hair, right? And the shit
Which one?
Off.
Which one? The black one? She has
and
no hair.
I'm thinking I have a better one next to me, and the other one falls off.
Oh, no.
I'd be fucked, wouldn't I?
Where are you picking up chicks?
Yeah, that's when beer comes into play. Like you're doing right now, natural light. You ever had natural light?
Natty light, yeah. It's terrible.
Pretty good, ain't it?
It's terrible.
How much is it in New York?
Oh, he just said natural light's terrible.
Natty light, how much is
good.
It?
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's from Anheuser-Busch?
Yeah.
They have to be our sponsor.
Everybody makes that. Every beer company makes a ghetto beer, though.
Oh, okay.
Everyone.
Get her done?
Get her done. He got her done. Get her done.
Hey, for Charlie, but he can get it done.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and go to get it done this weekend.
You didn't
I'm
go yet?
I'm ready for Oscar to come down, and we're gonna go and pretty much get it done.
He's saving it. That's like the Ritz to these guys.
The what?
You're like saving it for a special occasion.
To get her done?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely want to get her done when I get there.
Does that guy ever do stand up there?
They do stand up. That's
do they?
What's his name again?
Larry the Cable Guy.
The Cable Guy?
Yeah.
No, no, no. I was actually hanging out with these people from around here the other day. He's like a god to these people.
Yeah.
They knew everything about him. All his jokes. I was like, that's pretty funny, guys.
Is it true that if you get on a bus in Virginia and you don't have tokens or anything or quarters, you can say get her done and they let you go? Is that true?
If you go on the bus and you say get her done, they let you go, right?
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a positive one.
Not bad.
All right, boys.
All right, dude. We're going to go.
Right,
thanks
man.
For adding to the Drew conversation, and we'll talk to you on Monday when we got our phone.
Excellent.
All right. Peace, guys.
Later.
See you.
Should we call back Fun Factory?
Yeah.
See what's happening?
Call them up.
No way.
Yeah.
And do what? And just be like, hi, I'm so sorry about that.
I think there's a misunderstanding at the end.
I think my son, he gets a little...
Isn't that the worst? I guess there was a misunderstanding.
Should I call him back and tell him there was a misunderstanding?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed to do that.
Do it.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it, *67 to cover it up?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, my God. I'm freaking out. 8-2-64.
I think there's a misunderstanding.
Oh, the phone hung up or something?
Oh, yeah. I think we got disconnected.
I can't believe it. Hi, this is Chava again. I think we got disconnected. I was talking to Jonathan.
Sure, hold on, please.
The full-service event production company.
Oh, my
God. The Fun Factory caters to the needs of everyone. Company picnics, holiday gatherings, bar and bat mitzvahs, friends celebrating an important moment, companies rolling out a new product.
What's the phone number if anybody wants to call?
516-822-6400, but don't mention us. Don't ruin our gag. Don't call.
We're sorry we just gave that out.
I'm gonna get in trouble somehow.
You think he picks up or sends it to voicemail?
I don't think they can send it to voicemail. I think he'll be confused. All right. I guess they have a lot of clients.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Jonathan.
Yes.
Hi, this is Chava. I think we were disconnected.
Yeah, we were.
Oh. Okay. Wait,
where are you calling from, Chava?
I'm sorry?
Where are you calling from?
From Queens.
I understand you're calling from Queens. Are you calling from your house?
Yes. Can you hold on for just a moment?
Yeah, you want me to hold on again? Okay.
What's he doing?
He's having...
Let's hear. What's he doing, though?
He probably has the number from the first time you called, and now he has our house number.
Yeah. No, I hit *67, and we don't have a house number.
Not the first time. Well, he has that, so.
What?
He's just said something.
Did he say something? Okay, should I say I'm calling from a house number?
Yeah.
Okay, what number should I give him?
206. Your cell phone
number. No, not 206.
What's fuck 69?
No.
Why not?
No, because he's going to call, and it's going to be us, and it's going to trace. Wait, what's he saying? And it's going to trace to me.
I'll make up a number, then. Make up a number.
Okay, so... I don't know what we're doing.
5454.
Okay.
No, don't say.
You crazy?
Okay, there.
Okay.
Who cares? Make
no, whatever. I am so sorry. Jonathan?
Yes?
Hi. So, can we continue with our conversation?
What about how the conversation ended?
I'm sorry?
What about how the conversation ended?
I think I lost you.
No. Someone yelled a very, very inflammatory remark at us.
What was that?
They cursed me out.
No.
Yeah.
Was it, fuck you?
There you go.
Was it that?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would do that.
Well, you just did it. So, what's going on here?
Hello, I can't hear you.
What's going on here?
Hello.
Hello? Hello?
I'm going to hang up.
Hello?
I'm muted.
Hello?
Let's just let him sort it out.
Someone said it was an inflammatory talk. She goes, was it, fuck you? I said, yeah. She's like, well, no, who would do that?
Hello?
They're trying to put me on speaker so that everyone in the office can hear.
Yeah,
so
we're fucking around today.
Yeah. They're going to talk about it. I'll just keep it on mute until they're done. Now I'm on
Mike?
Speaker.
Mike, do you hear that snow? Did you hear Splinty do that?
Mike is their warehouse guy.
I said, she's like, I knew we got this jacket. It's like, how can we pin this conversation? I said, well, I wonder how the conversation hit. And the last time, like, what do you mean? I said, well, someone said an inflammatory remark. She's like, no. I said, yeah. They cursed me out. She's like, well, was it, oh, you? I said, yeah. And then you picked up the phone. Yeah.
Mike is a huge guy. Who's their warehouse person? He's been working there for a long time.
Crazy, no?
I used to work with him.
How long did they got to talk about it?
Hold on, let's
crazy,
see.
Huh?
Yeah, isn't that nuts? I think they just hung
they
up.
They did.
Well, fuck you.
All right. Well, that's our first call.
That was good. I'm glad we called
Not
back.
Bad,
I got
right?
to I got to actually right. get the benefits of that.
Right. And we did our first business show like adults. So we'll talk about pussy and shit tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
All right, everybody, let's show them how we do it here in Tucson, Arizona. Please welcome, all the way from Kazakhstan, they are Baroque and his cowboy Astana band. Give them a nice round of hoot and holler and applause.
This is a song called Namog Zrobić Domofon. It's been in my country, there is a problem. In my country there is problem, and that problem is transport. It take very, very long, because Kazakhstan is big. Throw transport down the well.
Come on!
So my country can be free, so my country can be free. We must make travel easy, then we have a big party. In my country there is problem, and that problem is the Jew. They take everybody's money, they never give it back. Throw the Jew down the well. Can be